My dear brothers and sisters, if I were to give you a pop quiz, passing through the pews a piece of paper, the simple question, define for me in one sentence the Immaculate Conception, I wonder what our results would show. Now, I think you're a pretty well catechized lot here, but I have to tell you that easily 90% of Catholics get the answer wrong. And it's somewhat tricky. The gospel we just heard is about the conception of Jesus. The angel comes to Mary, announces to her, the Holy Spirit overshadows her, and Jesus is conceived. And that's the gospel we hear every year on December the 8th. And so, perhaps that's the root of why, when people are asked the Immaculate Conception, they say the conception of Jesus. But you know better. You know that, in fact, this mystery is not of Mary conceiving Jesus, but of Mary herself being conceived without sin, immaculate. Now, why then do we have this gospel? Because the whole reason Mary is conceived without sin is to prepare her for this moment, that she can be the spotless temple in which God comes from heaven to earth in the incarnation. So today's gospel is not the what of the Immaculate Conception, it is the why of the Immaculate Conception. Now, Mary herself being conceived without sin, that's not on her own merit, it is a gift. God, who sees all of eternity, applied the great fruit of the cross in advance. It's through Jesus' victory on the cross that Mary herself is conceived without sin. And so it can get confusing. But now you know, and we're going to keep it straight. Now, talking about God's plan to save us, talking about Mary being preserved from sin, let's talk about sin. Why does God have to have a plan to save us? Why does Mary have to be preserved from sin? What does sin do? You know, Jesus gave one criterion for evaluating things in the gospel. He says, you'll know a tree by its fruit. What is the fruit of sin? Well, let's look at today's first reading. We have there an account of the immediate aftermath of original sin. And before we get all upset at Adam and Eve for ruining it for the rest of us, let's remember how many times we've added to the brokenness of the world through our own sins. But what do we find? God comes to the garden, and Adam is hiding. Sin spoils our relationship with God and with one another. For you see, if Jesus taught that all the commandments can be summarized in love of God and love of neighbor, then we know sin, a breaking of those commandments, is going to poison our relationship with God, poison our relationship with our neighbor. And here we find it in Genesis. The first fruit of sin is fear. Man fears God instead of loving God. And from fear, we move to shame. Shame, I'm hiding. Now, you and I, when we've done bad things, whether it's as children, we don't want to own up to it, we want to hide, we hope nobody knows, fear and shame. We know these things. Sometimes even as adults, we commit a sin, or even we just make a mistake at work or at home, and we experience fear and shame. That's not what God wants to characterize our relationship with Him. Now, what are the fruits of sin in relationship to our neighbor? Well, what does Adam do? He throws Eve under the bus. Okay, you found me. It's her fault. The woman you put here with me, it's her fault. The blame game. Oh, we're good at that. Something goes wrong. Well, it couldn't be my fault. It's got to be somebody else's fault. The blame game. And from blame comes division. Can you imagine the dinner table conversation after that day? Eve says to Adam, "So, you told God it's my fault, did you?" I don't think that was a happy home that night. Blame and division are the fruits of sin instead of the love that should reign between us. So how can Mary help us? Instead of fear, we need trust. Oh, Mary had questions about God and about what was going on. But she didn't let fear reign in her heart. She said, "May it be done to me according to your word." She trusted. Instead of shame, Mary shows us our dignity. You and I were created in the image and likeness of God. It's not just that sin spoils a relationship with God and neighbor. Sin spoils ourselves. It's beneath me. It's beneath my dignity. Mary teaches us to recognize our dignity. We were created for greater things than sin. Let's not live in shame. Let's embrace the dignity of who God created us to be. Blame. Well, Mary experienced a lot of sorrows in her life. And she could have thrown blame all around. Blame at the high priest, blame at the Romans. No. Imagine what it's like when, in the course of life, instead of us blaming the people around us, what happens when we take personal responsibility? Yep, I did that. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do better. What a different path that is than always trying to shift blame around us. And not just taking personal responsibility for our sins. Let's take personal responsibility for our mission. Mary realized she had been chosen for a special mission. And she could have said, "Oh, no, I think you should give that to somebody else." No. She didn't fully understand it. She didn't fully understand how much it was going to cost her. But she said yes. She took responsibility for the mission God gave her. What about us? We need to take responsibility for our sins so that we can have contrition and a firm purpose of amendment, but we also need to take responsibility for the mission that God has given each and every single one of us. You and I aren't here simply to take up space on the planet. In fact, I saw a news article last week. This brilliant man has a solution to all the problems. He said, "We humans should simply stop reproducing and choose extinction And then the earth will heal itself and everything will be just dandy. There is a person that doesn't understand that each and every human person is loved into life by God and given a mission. Each and every single one of us is to be God's blessing to our family, our community, a blessing to the whole world. Do you and I take responsibility? I am meant to be God's blessing to the people around me. Yes, I take responsibility for that. What a different world it would be if we all took responsibility for that mission. And lastly, division. Boy, we know how sin works to divide. We live through those tensions, the messiness of relationships, the brokenness of the world, the polemics of our society. We see division everywhere, and is it ugly? But Mary is the mother of the Prince of Peace. What would happen if we ask Mary to teach us not to add to the divisions of the world, but to work for peace and unity? Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." How beautiful it would be if you and I, instead of giving in all too easily to the tensions around us, stepping on each other's toes, our rough edges rubbing up against each other. Oh, it's easy to foster division. What would happen if we choose to say, "I will work for peace and unity"? My dear brothers and sisters, Mary has a lot to teach us, and she has been given to us as our spiritual mother. Let's ask for her intercession, that you and I might be freed from fear to live in confident trust of God's merciful love, that you and I might be freed from shame to embrace our dignity as children of God, that you and I may not give in to blame and dodging responsibility, but instead take responsibility both for the bad when we've sinned and for the good that God has given to us to accomplish in this world. And that Mary may teach us to foster peace and unity. What a beautiful world it would be. Mary, our Immaculate Mother, help us.